Easter is big, isn't it? Usually there's a brass group playing to a big crowd at church. People wear special clothes. Some of them are brand new outfits just for Easter. Maybe there's dinner with family or reservations at an Easter buffet. Easter is big. But before it was big, it was small and quiet. Before it grew to include you and me and all of human history, resurrection was something that was first shared between Jesus and Mary. Since Lent began way back February 17th on Ash Wednesday, we have been focused on the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross as he was dying there. The words of Good Friday that ended when he was taken from the cross and placed in a tomb. And it seemed that there would be no more words from Jesus. But today we hear the first words that he spoke after he was resurrected. And his first single word makes us recognize that this is one who keeps his promise. And we hear him as the one who speaks into the silence and darkness of our lives. The first word is not a parable. It's not a command. The first word is a name. John tells us to a grieving, distraught follower, Jesus says, Mary. And that's what resurrection is at its very beginning. The assurance to Mary that Jesus knows her. To be known and recognized can be enough to change your life. Maybe it can be enough to save you. There's a children's therapist who specializes in working with kids who have suffered abuse as young ones. They've been harmed, and this counselor himself is a survivor of abuse. He's a great big Hawaiian guy with a larger-than-life presence. A big guy with wild, long, curly hair. And he's adored and trusted by the kids with whom he works. If you visit his office, you notice that there's a toy on his desk. It's Trolley from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. If you ask him about it, this curly-haired counselor might describe some of what he endured growing up in an abusive home. And he might tell you that how one particular day, alone upstairs, his mother left the room and he crawled over to a TV, an old TV. He pulled himself up and pushed and pulled some knobs. And then an old television started to flicker to life. And an image of Mr. Rogers appeared. Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, the Presbyterian minister who sought to bring the love and life of Christ into his extensive work with children. It was the end of the show, and Mr. Rogers, in his unique kind way, was having a quiet, calm conversations with thousands and thousands of kids all around the country. But the grown-up man, the counselor, tells it like this. In that moment, he seemed to look me right in the eye and speak directly to me as he said, "And I like you for just being you." And the guy says, "It was like the voice of God was speaking right to me. It hit me in my soul. I was a miserable little kid. I was surely the horrible person that I thought I was. I was sure I deserved everything that I had gotten and that I didn't deserve better than this. That's all I had ever known, all I had ever expected, until that moment. That moment gave me hope, and I've kept those words with me. I think they saved my life. I like you for just being you." He thought, that's all I had ever known, all I'd ever come to expect, despair. Early Easter morning, that was Mary's story. That's all she knew. She was breathless with her own grief. She had endured so much in her life. John says that she was walking to the tomb, but don't you wonder if it just felt like she was crawling there? The little bag of spices that she carried wasn't very heavy. But what about the bag of heavier stuff the stuff of her life that she was carrying, the grief and the hopelessness that she carried from what she had seen. She was dragging herself to a place that you're really never ready to visit. I think many of you know this place. The space somewhere between Friday and Sunday, between the death that we've seen and the resurrection that we hope for. We all spend part of our lives there, this place where fear and discouragement carry the day. On Friday, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, signs a death certificate, and Rome and Jesus' opponents are winning the day. They always win, don't they? Hopes are shattered and tombs are closed. Broken people stay broken, and people that are dead stay dead. It's all Mary and all those who walk with her can see in the early morning haze. Now, this story takes various forms, and we seem to know it too well in a world that is still harmful to so many sons and daughters of God. We say Atlanta or Boulder, Washington, D.C., Buffalo. We hear the stories of COVID. Do we get used to these occurrences and just expect that they're going to keep going? They're going to run rampant and roughshod over people? Or can another reality break in? Can another reality invite us to come along? Mary wasn't expecting a new reality on that morning. She may have passed the cross of Jesus, the cross of Good Friday, on her way to the tomb. It was there, still outside the city, visible against the morning sky. Didn't it seem to say, this is the way things are, this is the way things always will be? And you hear that and you tell that to yourself often enough, and you start to live your life by a particular script. And so Mary is carrying spices for burial of the body of Jesus, because death is what she has known, death is what she expects, it's all she can hear. Until she hears something else. Did you notice it wasn't what she saw, the empty tomb, the grave clothes cast aside, not even the two angels in white? It's not what she sees, it's what she hears. A word at once intimate and recognizable, spoken into the silence and suffering of her life, that's what causes her to turn and look again. And that's what always does it. A well-known preacher named Thomas Long tells about being on a road trip and pushing radio scan button for something to listen to, anything. The radio paused while it was scanning at a Christian talk radio show. The host took a call from a Barbara who said she had problems. And she started to describe problems with work, stress in her marriage, conflict with her kids, and she was experiencing some depression. As she described her life, the host interrupted her, excited to tell his stuff. He interrupted her. Barbara, let me ask you something. Are you a believer? If not, you'll never solve these problems. Are you a believer? And she said, I don't know. Now, Barbara, if you were, you would know it. You either are or you're not. Barbara, are you? And she answered, well, I'd like to be. I guess I'm more of an agnostic. I'm just not sure at this point. Well, you could see, even through the it just being a radio, you could almost see through his words the host sliding to the front edge of his seat. Now, Barbara, I have written a book, and I'd like to send it to you. In it, I have laid out indisputable proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he is who he said he is. Now, if I send this to you, would you become a believer? I don't know, she said. I've got problems trusting preachers. Well, I'm not talking about preachers, he said. I'm talking about proof. Now, if I send you this book, will you become a believer? And Barbara quietly said, I'm having trouble trusting right now. Not trust. I'm talking about the truth, he said to her. If I send you this, will you become a believer? And finally, Barbara caved in. Well, yeah, I guess so. If you send it to me, yeah. And Thomas Long, the listener driving in his car on this road trip, said that he heard that story and he was a little disappointed that Barbara gave in so quickly. And listening to him tell the story, I feel the same way. Maybe you do too. Of course, we hope that she's going to find faith in Jesus Christ. And we hope that she'll find some help for her problems. But was it proof that she was looking for in that moment? It was not an empty tomb that changed Mary, or a pile of grave clothes, or even two figures in white. Now, sure, there's a reasonable amount of evidence for Jesus' resurrection, and you can find that if that's what you're looking for. But it's not proof that changes Mary. It's a word. It's an encounter. It's a voice recognizing her through her tears and her questions. It's when she hears her name spoken. That's what touches Mary. That's what usually touches us as well. Jesus once described himself as the shepherd who knows each of the sheep by name. It's what we hear when he calls into the tomb of his friend Lazarus a few weeks before Easter. Lazarus, who has passed, but Jesus shouts out his name, Lazarus! Jesus has emerged from his own tomb, and now he calls Mary to step forth from hers. It's a tomb that she has known for a long time. It's a tomb that she has rehearsed many years. It's a tomb that says, nothing will ever change, and my life will always be what it has been. It's a tomb where you can be tempted to hide, and it's a tomb, a room of fear behind locked doors where broken people stay broken. And then Jesus speaks, Mary. And she's turning for all of us, dropping her spices, dropping her script, and turning into a new world of resurrection and life. And it's a grand moment. It's life-altering. And it starts with something as simple and intimate as hearing your own name. How many of us need to hear that word spoken today? How many of us are walking with a weight of despair and heartbreak and lost hope, not sure that there's a future, not far off in other lands, but in our own city, our own neighborhood, our own home, in our own circle of friends? The story and work of the long-haired Hawaiian counselor to kids strikes close to home because we know how vulnerable people are. We know, if we've done any checking at all, how vulnerable we are ourselves. We know others who need to have someone look them in the eye and speak Fred Rogers' message to them. I like you for just being you. And we know little ones that need to hear that. And we know older ones that need to hear that. And we need to hear it ourselves. Jesus speaks to that when he speaks our own name. We are among the ones for whom he died and came back so that we might know that we are known and recognized, so that we might turn into a new story for our lives where we are loved and gifted and then we have a future and we are welcomed into God's family. This encounter on Easter morning sends Mary racing to shout as loudly as she can, I have seen the Lord. Because when you experience it yourself, you recognize that there's a whole world of people out there who need to hear it for themselves. Look again at this long-haired, curly Hawaiian counselor to kids. This joyous man is working with a young client, and Trolley is there, as usual, on the desk. As they finish, he helps his young client out of her chair. He takes both of her hands and he looks her in the eyes and says, "Remember, I like you for just being you." Friends, the first word of resurrection is your name being called by a Savior, by a God who loves you more than you can imagine. Oh God, we ask you to bless all of those who work with young ones, who have a chance to say, "I like you just for being you." And God, on this Easter day and the days to come, may we hear that word and carry it to those around us. In the name of the risen Christ, who knows each of us by name. All honor to the risen Christ. Amen.